Welcome to the Financial Power Hour with the financial prosperity coach, Christopher Music, who has been a featured guest on CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox affiliates, sharing his 20-plus years of experience in financial principles and how to apply them to your life and business. And now, your host, Christopher Music.
Welcome to the Financial Power Hour. This is Christopher Music, your host, and I'd like to thank you for taking time out today to listen to this show. Now, you know, I created this Financial Power Hour for you, the small business owner, that private practice professional, the one who has said, you know what, I want to captain my own ship. I want to go out there and serve my clients, my patients, my customers, whatever they are for you, in a way that is in alignment with my passion, and I'm going to throw it all on the wall and see if it sticks. You know what? There's a word that describes you. It's one of my favorite words in the English language, actually, and the word is recalcitrant. Recalcitrant means hard to manage or control. Now, if you're a small business owner, if you're snickering with that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, it takes that person with that resolve, that entrepreneurial spirit, that unkillable purpose to go out there and start a business without any training at all. I mean, God bless you. You know, I spent, I don't know how many years in school. I have a master's degree in business administration. Do you know what that means? That means absolutely nothing when it comes to running your business. You know, one of the things I found out when I was later in life trying to start and run my own financial planning firm, I discovered pretty early on that all the stuff I learned in school, in business administration, was about being an employee. It was about theory in publicly traded companies. It had nothing to do with entrepreneurship and what it actually took to be successful in this game called small business. So I put this show together for you. Now, of course, as a financial advisor, I can talk about investments, portfolio management, tax management, how to get out of debt, how to protect assets. There's all kinds of technology that exists out there to do all that stuff. And the point is, if you're not making it in your small business, then all of the trading in stocks and all of the shuffling around of the 0% credit cards and all of the extravagant asset protection structures we get involved in mean nothing because you're not making enough money. See, financial planning is about a three-valued equation. It is about making income, first and foremost. I mean, so it's coming out of everywhere. And then you figure out how to spend it to make more income. And then you have to learn how to protect what you've made. That's financial planning. And my profession, if those of you have ever worked with a financial advisor, will realize that the entirety of the advice is how to spend it or not spend it and how to protect it. It has nothing to do with how to make more money. So I focused a lot of this Financial Power Hour on that which is important. And what's important for you to understand is something you already know. That if you don't make a killing in income in your business, then all the financial planning in the world isn't going to make any difference. So I have focused this show on bringing on experts who are really, really good at marketing, at building systems, building successful businesses. And of course, those who are professional investors, ones who understand the risk and reward equation of activity, economic activity. I had to go through this learning curve myself, and it was hard. I did the school of hard knocks. That's what I did. And instead of making huge mistakes and licking my wounds and saying, you know what, I'm never going to do that again, I asked myself the question, which natural law did I avoid or violate? Because these natural laws do exist. And once you understand these laws and you align your financial and economic activities to these laws, guess what happens? You expand like crazy. You see, there's 21 of these laws that I've created in this body of knowledge called The 21 Laws of Financial Prosperity. And we're going to share with you at the end of the show how to get a copy of that for you, the action guide on these 21 laws. But most importantly, the law I want to talk about today is about professionalism and excellence in your work. You know, if you are passionate about what you do, that's wonderful. If you're a passionate dentist, then it's wonderful to work on someone's mouth to make sure they have the ideal result in dentistry. But in order to be able to do that effectively, guess what? You have to know how to be an executive in your business, how to get that team working in the right direction. And of course, you have to be a good owner, be a leader in entrepreneurship, and how to be a professional investor. So you get the economic and career rewards of this risk, this unbelievable risk we're taking every single day to make our own way in the world. So it's really about getting to what I call financial power. And financial power is being debt-free. It's having an income stream that you can create the rest of your life that's reliable, that will live as long as you do. It's about protecting all your assets. It's about creating a business that's sellable. You know, you can't go into work every day and say, well, you know, I'm here to have a job, so I have a place to go every day. What about building that business for somebody else, monetizing, cashing in on that life's work? That's really important. And our guest today is going to show us the secret on how to do that. And of course, time is free for you to pursue other goals. And the way to create time is to create a business machine that operates without you. And that's okay if it does. You're all sitting there saying, I'm too busy. Well, why? Why are we too busy? We're basically violating a small natural law there we're going to discuss today. So today I have an incredible guest. He is an executive and staff training expert. And we're going to ask him how he developed his entire stable system of training for executives and staff to help businesses expand like crazy while increasing revenue. His name is Patrick Cloudon. So, we're going to take a little break, and up next we're going to be talking with my special guest, and we're going to get his insight on building successful systems designed to train competent staff so you can expand like crazy. We'll be right back.
Private practice Millionaire Academy founder and talk radio host of the Financial Power Hour, P. Christopher Music explains how not to lose the value of your life's work. What you leave behind is not what is engraved in stone monuments, but what is woven into the lives of others. Pericles, 5th century before Common Era, Greek statesman. Your estate is simply all of the assets you own or are entitled to under the law. A good estate plan will ensure your assets are dispersed according to your wishes when you pass. Estate planning includes different types of legal documents and instructions for your friends and family so they can act in your interest with confidence. Proper estate planning will perpetuate your wealth to your family, friends, and charities and better accomplish the purposes for which that wealth was accumulated. Learn more about how not to lose the value of your life's work when you visit the blog page at pchristophermusic.com. That's pchristophermusic.com. Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music, online at pchristophermusic.com.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour. This is your host, Christopher Music, and you're listening here on AM 1380, The Biz. Now, if you're a small business owner or an owner of a professional practice, listen up, because we're about to share with you some dynamite information. Now, I talked to you about before the break about how important it is to reach financial power and to really understand this risk as a small business owner and how important it is for your own freedom to build systems. So we're going to be introducing my next guest right now, Mr. Patrick Cloudon. He is the Chief Executive Officer of Consumer Energy Solutions, one of the nation's top energy consulting firms, founded in 1999 and represents some of the largest energy suppliers in North America. At the same time, in about 2006, he created Accelerated Training Solutions, which produces training materials used by hundreds of companies to train their executives and employees in the areas of public relations, marketing, sales, delivery, and business management. In addition to running these two successful businesses, he travels and speaks to large organizations everywhere. He is passionate about educating and apprenticing individuals so they can gain confidence and ability to generate high performance at their jobs and help the customers they serve. I am pleased to welcome my very special guest and longtime friend, Mr. Patrick Cloudon. Thanks for being on the show, man.
You're welcome. Good to see you.
Thanks, man. So now I know you have some exciting stuff for our listeners today about building successful systems so they can expand like crazy. But first, I'd like to get to know about you, or have our listeners get to know a bit more about you. I've known you for, you know, over 10 years. So share your story and how you got involved in all this.
Okay, well, I was in the long-distance business in the mid-90s, and my partner and I built that company up, and we sold it in 1997. And I had decided at that time that I wasn't going to work anymore, and so I decided to play golf every day. I did that for 2 weeks, right, and decided that was not what I'm not cut out for that, and plus my golf game didn't get any better. So anyways, I got introduced to the energy deregulation. And so energy was deregulating all over the United States. And I knew that model because I had just come out of the long-distance deregulation. And so I set up, you know, a sales company with the intention of servicing and helping large energy suppliers build a customer base. So as we went through this, we initially just did residential sales, and you could teach someone in the morning how to talk to a homeowner and save them money and sign people up. And then an interesting thing occurred. The national do not call laws came into effect. Mm-hmm. And so more and more homeowners actually put their home on the do not call list. And so the people that you could actually contact dwindled considerably. Mm-hmm. So then we had to make the transition to doing commercial sales. And now when you make that transition, you're now talking to business people and you need more and better trained people. And at the time, we had probably five people who could actually sell commercial energy. Speaking here about electricity and natural gas.
That's not a lot of people.
No, that's all I had. And so if two of those people were out for whatever reason, there's about 40% of your potential sales in any given week. So I had to figure this out. I had to really figure out how to train more people, how to become more proficient at this. And so at the time, what I decided to do was interview those five people. And what I found was each one of them had successful actions. Each one of them had then a sequence of action. Mm-hmm. And so we interviewed those people and we actually extracted that information from them, each of the five, and got their sequence of action, got their successful actions. And then I got bright and I added keyword lists to this, meaning keywords that relate to the industry, mm-hmm. and that people hear all the time, but they don't understand. And so that was the foundation of building our training program. And we literally went from five people who could sell energy services contracts to up over 100.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was an amazing story. And we quickly became one of the top players and one of the top companies of our kind in the United States. And so then I decided, well, okay, this, I did it here. How can I do it for someone else? Can we do it in another area? And so we started working and putting together training programs for other companies, for friends of mine. That went extremely, extremely well. And then we kind of hit a niche in the consulting world consulting companies that teach dentists and chiropractors and veterinarians and professional people like this how to professionally run as a business and how to get administration in so they're more efficient and can get more done. And so we put together training programs based on that, and that's how we developed Accelerated Training Solutions.
You know, and I've done some of those courses, and they're awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, they are. And one of the biggest criticisms that I have in this world of small business and professional practices, I hear all these practice owners say all the time, I can't find anybody good to hire.
Right.
I just don't buy that. I think there's all kinds of qualified people out there. But I will tell you this, and you can, I'd like to have you comment on this. If you don't have a training program for them to learn how to do their job and to become mm-hmm. better at what they do, then that's on you as a business owner.
Absolutely. Well, you take a look at this. There's not a company in the world that doesn't want looking for good people.
Right.
Right? Then there's all these other people over here looking for jobs. So you tell me every one of these people are no good? I don't think so. I also explain it to business people like this. Go through any and get the Sunday paper, particularly in the world of sales, because that's my background, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can go through the Sunday paper and look for in the hiring section, and you'll see experienced people only apply. 10 years or more experience, 5 years or more experience. That what is that businessman actually saying? He's advertising the fact, listen, I couldn't possibly train anybody, and I'm hoping that somebody else trained you so I could hire you away from him to come work for me. And so that wasn't a very efficient model for me. And so what I look for is willing people. And if you have a willing person and you put together a training program based on successful actions, mm-hmm. right? And then you get sequence of action, and that's what you teach them. And then you teach them the nomenclature of that business, so they're familiar with that. You can build a team. This is the foundation or fundamental step for building a team, a quality team that can actually get work done and can share a common purpose to get things done. And so this is what we do, and this is what we do. And I'll give you an example of this because we have a rather mature group of people that have been with me for a number of years, and mm-hmm. we had a situation come up where a very, very large account, we could call for the next 15 years and not find an account this size that didn't have an energy service contract. And my guys fumbled the ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we did not get that deal. And so instead of looking at that and getting upset with them, I said, okay, what can we learn from this?
Right.
And as a result of that, we actually are building a training program specifically for handling that type of account so we won't continue to make that same mistake ever again.
Yeah, wonderful.
Right. So that's the operating basis that we kind of roll forward on.
Yeah. Those of you who are listening to this, do you see how rather than making a mistake or losing a big deal and getting mad about it, we say, what did we do wrong? Because if someone's getting the deal, someone's doing something right.
Correct.
And it's a matter of just finding out what that is and then making it learnable.
Correct.
So speak to that just a little bit rather than just getting mad.
Right.
Because you couldn't have created a training program unless you had problems showing up in your business, right?
Oh, lots of them. Yeah, welcome to the world of business. So that is the thing is you're always going to have problems, right? And it's what you do and how you handle them and how efficiently you handle them. And personnel, finance and personnel are probably the two biggest areas in any business.
Sure.
So if you have a training program that allows people to win, now if you came to my business and we have a huge training area, and I have 5 full-time staff just dedicated to training my staff.
Wow.
And imagine a training program that's so good that people write success stories. So I put these success stories on the wall. And so because we deal with some of the largest corporations in America. So when they come and see us and I tour them through and they see the training program, they want me to train their staff.
Sure.
Yeah. So it takes the, one of the things that I challenge business people when I do these different business conventions, what have you, minimally what you can do is make sure you define all of the words that are work are related to your industry. And the example that I use, if I walk into a computer store and there's a young man there, the salesperson, starts talking about all the latest features and benefits of this thing, goes right over my head, and I go to sleep. Let me go get my son, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm out.
Right, exactly. Versus if you have it's an education process. See, selling energy in today's market, and probably selling anything in today's market, is an education process. So you have to make sure that people really understand what you're talking about. And that's one of the successful actions that we have. And then how do you present that information? How do you professionally handle, how do you handle the contracts? How do you handle the explanations of the contract? All of these things are learnable and teachable to others, but you have to take the time to build that program.
Well, I think it's wonderful on that explanation. Now, I'm going to ask you a question now. It's probably going to sound a little weird, but how important do you feel training is to the success of any small business or private practice?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I've seen so many success stories over the years of guys doing it the right way and guys doing it the wrong way. And the guys doing it the wrong way struggle, and they're always in either a financial struggle or a delivery struggle, and there's struggles. And so whereas you get professional people who take a professional approach to it, and they raise the game, and you can raise the game then of the standard of your staff, of what they're delivering, and that's how you become, you know, stronger. Like you're saying, if you're going to be able to take time away from the business, you can step out and know that you have a group of professionals there handling things professionally, and if the administrative lines are all working, it's all going to flow properly. There's not going to be upset customers or upset clients. This is a huge step forward at making and being very, very creative in establishing, like you're saying, monetizing your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And can you speak to just one of the ways, before we take our break here, on how a business owner can use training for actually team building and creating that esprit de corps?
Well, a good example would be just getting everybody, the procedures. You get a successful way that you handle people, and you make that known to everybody in the group. This is how we handle this situation. And you make a protocol. Then you put that into a policy, and you have everybody go through that policy so they understand it. And now you have everybody working on the same protocol. So they're not fighting, or they're not, one guy's not dropped the ball, and now you got an upset thing, and now they're arguing. You're trying to achieve a goal, and next thing you know, people are over here fighting. Like, you eliminate those things and get everybody on the same page, so you're going towards the same goal as a group.
Yeah, I really take a look at that in these professional practices that I work with as a financial advisor. The ones that seem to have more income and the smiles on their faces are the ones that have these systems in place where right. People are following a standard protocol rather than, well, you just go handle it and let me know how you handled it.
Right. Right. Exactly. Or they handle it this way on Monday, and Tuesday they handle it differently. They give one person a discount. They don't give the other person a discount. If they find out about it, now you created all kinds of problems. So you have to have, what's the protocols? See, these are successful actions. And typically the owner is the guy that knows these things.
Right.
Right? And so he can put down, okay, this is where we're going as a group. This is where we need to get to. And this is how we're going to get there. And then that becomes, okay, you find people that will help you do that.
And that's so important. And I think the business owner has to realize that the buck stops with the owner.
Correct.
On this particular activity, taking responsibility for the functions of the organization and the manifestation of that organization's purpose. And that obviously is going to be done if everybody in the organization is on board.
Correct. I agree with that.
Yeah. All right. So it's time now for a weather and traffic update. And up next, we're going to continue with our executive and staff training expert, Mr. Pat Clowden. He's going to be giving more strategies you can start implementing today that's going to help your business expand like crazy. You're definitely not going to want to miss that. So stay tuned for weather and traffic up next.
Private Practice Millionaire Academy founder and talk radio host of Financial Power Hour, P. Christopher Music, shares the three secrets to achieving unlimited wealth. Financial prosperity can be achieved by following three primary principles illustrated in a PIE triangle. The P represents protecting assets and income from the 83-plus specific and measurable risks threatening the long-term affluence of a household. I equals income, which actually creates abundance and an overall improved financial condition. The E refers to expenses after income, earned in relation to funding the immediate and long-term goals of the household and its members. Each corner must work together to stay equal and strong and represent the overall financial condition of the family. What's important is the interrelationship of these three elements. To reach financial power and unlimited wealth, you must raise each corner of the pie triangle. Discover additional secrets in achieving a lifetime of financial success when you visit the blog page at pchristophermusic.com. This is the Financial Power Hour with Prosperity Coach Christopher Music. Make contact at 727-588-1540. And now, here's Christopher Music.
Okay, folks, we're back at the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. I'm your host, Christopher Music, and we are here talking about business training systems with expert Patrick Cloudon. And we're discussing the importance of building training systems for your small business and the real value of giving back. So, Patrick, thanks again for being here. And before the break, we talked about, you know, some examples about the importance of putting in training systems. So can you just give an example about how you have seen like a business that's not doing well and has then done well because they started implementing training?
Sure. I can tell you a story about one time I walk into a dentist's office. And he had this huge wall full, you know, it's shelves and all these file folders in them. I said, Doc, what's all this stuff, right? And he says, oh, that's our patient history care, right? And so somebody comes in, they get their service, and we document what they did, and we put that up there. And I said, well, what else do you do with it? And he looked at me like, what? I said, well, what else do you do with that? That's it. That's what we do. I said, well, if it's me, he had so many file folders. I said, I would have two full-time staff calling every one of those people, making sure that we have correct email, making sure we have correct phone numbers, correct cell numbers, making sure that we're sending out newsletters, educating them onto the latest technology. Because this guy was big into dental technology, right? Mm-hmm. And making sure I was a dentist, you know, and making sure that people understood all of that. Making sure that, you know, you were contacting them every 6 months to get them in for their teeth cleaning. And he's looking at me like, wow, you're smart.
Where'd you come from, man?
And so by putting those types of things in, it was very, very easy to raise that gentleman's income.
Oh, by a lot.
Right, exactly. See, so that's an example of a guy that is sitting on a gold mine. He had no systems in place to kind of harvest or to go after the gold mine, right?
Right.
And in truth, he is such a good guy. He really wanted to help people. So he wasn't helping as many people as he actually could because his administrative systems were so poor. And that was really what bothered them. It really wasn't the money, right? It was really what more people he could service.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, another example of someone who did an incredible job was this one woman I worked with. And she worked at a high-end furniture store. And, you know, very, very high-end, very high-quality wood and the craftsmanship. All of these things were awesome. But the descriptions, nobody understood, right? Nobody understood it. Wow. So what she took on upon herself was to take the descriptions and make it into, it's kind of like, you know, furniture for dummies, so that, right? And then so she actually took the time to train the salespeople, made it available to them, started working with the salespeople. So their understanding of what they were selling came up. They were better able to explain it to people and the quality of what they had.
Sure.
And then justify the pricing and everything else. Their sales went up. The president of the company noticed what's going on there, mm-hmm. right? And this woman took it on upon herself. It was not her job. She wasn't the trainer. She has since been promoted, and she's got she writes blogs for them and educating people on what they do and how they do it. And that's an example of taking and creating a training program that helped that company tremendously. It was already a successful company and helped raise their statistics, their sales statistics greatly.
That's a wonderful example. Now, we talk about putting in training systems. Obviously, anyone listening is a small business owner and say, what's this going to cost me? You know, obviously, it's one of the big questions. So how much should a business owner be looking at investing into their business in training systems?
Well, again, it would depend on that business owner, right, and what he has. But you can do, you know, a sales training program. Let's say you needed help with sales for as little as $250.
You hear that, folks? It's not $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. It is $250.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that, doing it that way, in that format, you can help more people. And that's really what we kind of drive behind with Accelerated Training Solutions.
Yeah. Now, I'd like for you to speak to this a little bit. Most business owners that I know, you know, they don't want to spend any more money because they're not making enough money. And they look at investing. I shouldn't say the word investing. They look at spending money on employees and on training as an expense and not as an investment. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. Well, poor training would be an expense. If you get good training that actually enhances your business and enhances your personnel, it is an investment. And people who you help them win at their job and they're doing better on their job, then you get a group doing that, they're all doing better. Yeah. Of course, the business is going to do better. And then you get everybody, again, it's very important to get everybody to buy in on the goals of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the goals of the company is not to make the owner money. I can assure you that, right?
Right.
It's, you know, okay, good. What are we going to do to help people? How we help more people? And then if you concentrate and push and work in that direction while building people's confidence in what they're doing so they can deliver a better, higher quality professional product, you will expand.
Yeah, I think it was Richard Branson that said, you know, he fielded a question like, well, what if we train people and they leave? And he says, well, what if you don't train them and they stay?
Yeah, exactly. Well said, Richard.
And I look at that and it flabbergasts me every time I speak to this point, you know, because I work with business consultants all over the world, actually. And it's always the same old conversation. This is going to be what it's going to cost to train your staff. Why can't do that?
Right.
It's like, well, why are you in business? You know, you're going to do this all on your own? You know, now, one of the things that, since I've known you for so long, you are, tell me about how you would bring guys in who weren't very qualified to work, and through your training program, you got them on the phones and really producing. And can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. So the quality, the one quality that we look for above any other quality is willingness.
Now, speak to that just a little bit more of what that means.
That means, is the person willing to learn? Is the person willing to be corrected? Is the person willing to say, listen to themselves? You know, we make recordings. It's a great training tool in the world of sales, right? And you just get a recording of what just happened, not only wrongly, but rightly. So you can reinforce the rightnesses and correct and the weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're not willing to do any of those things, so, right, they're just not willing, then that's not who you want to employ. If you have, I've had many, many successes of people who have had no experience whatsoever in the energy business, tremendously willing people, tremendously willing to learn, tremendously willing to work hard, tremendously willing to apply what they learned and be corrected and enjoy in the success of the group and be a teammate, right, and be a member of the team, well, then those people are gold. And there's more of those people in any community than there are the other people, believe it or not.
And it's amazing that we are looking at this from a paradigm of what's on your resume, what's been your experience, what is your, you know, the letters after your name and all these things.
Right.
And I guess that might show a little bit of willingness to learn to some degree. But I think you hit the nail right on the head of their willingness to come in and be coached and having business owners look for that. So if you're a business owner, listen to this. It's the willingness point, isn't it? It's like, is this person willing to really learn your business and really giving it their all and willing to be corrected? That is the most important thing to look for. And then get them trained. Don't let them go like a pinball around your organization, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. One of the great things we do in the subject of sales, for example, every morning at 8:30, we have, you can call it drilling stations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Practice. So, and even my best people, and the way that how I get my best people to help, I said, listen, I don't need you to get better. I need you to help that other guy get better.
Wow.
right? And that's how I get their, see, again, they're willing, though. They're willing to do it, right? And so the best guys are helping the new guys, and they're helping bring them along. And then, again, it creates an atmosphere and a team where everybody wins here, and we're going to help each other win. And that's why we're here doing this.
I love that. I think that is awesome. Now, one of my professors in school told me this. He says, when you can explain it to someone else, that's when you actually understand it.
Correct. Probably a lot of truth in that.
A lot of truth in that statement. And so that is the very important point, is that drilling, right, doing it over and over again until you get perfect at it, and having them train others. Once they understand it perfectly, right, themselves, that perpetuates. So right, your business owners, listen to that, because that's your key out of the day-to-day operations in your business. So we're going to take a little break right now, and we're going to listen to these commercial messages. But when we come back, we're going to be listening to Pat talk to us a bit more about training and about corporate responsibility and giving back. You're not going to want to miss it.
Private practice millionaire academy founder and talk radio host of the Financial Power Hour, P. Christopher Music, explains how to live your art and promote your brand. Professionals dedicated to pursuing excellence in their chosen field recognize that every profession, from hardcore scientist to abstract artist, have both science and art in that particular field. Science is a branch of knowledge or study dealing with a body of facts or truths. Art is the quality, production, expression of what is beautiful and appealing. Every professional applies the science of his subject to create an effect. The individual aesthetics applied to the science to create unique results is the art form, wholly unique to that individual. This becomes the brand. Your brand is your warranty to the customer, the assurance that the artistic application of the science of what you do will afford them the results they seek. Discover the secrets to living your art and promoting your brand. Visit the blog page at pchristophermusic.com. Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music, online at pchristophermusic.com.
Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour. This is Christopher Music, the Financial Prosperity Coach, your host. And I am here with Mr. Patrick Cloudon, and he is an expert on training executives and staff in companies. And before the break, we talked about the importance of putting in systems and investing in systems. And, you know, once you do that, explain, Pat, about once a system is in a business, what happens to that owner when his staff is doing what you said just before the break about taking responsibility for their areas, training their other staff? What happens to the owner there?
Well, he has more time to get to spend on the strategies of the business and expanding mm-hmm. the strategies. He has more time to work on the goals and expanding the goals of the group. Mm-hmm. Maybe the best way for me to describe this is that with Consumer Energy Solutions, for the fifth year in a row, we are in the top 100 workplaces here in the Tampa Bay area, and that is a program run by the Tampa Bay Times. Mm-hmm. And three times in the last 4 years, we've been the Tampa Bay Business Journal runs a top 35, top philanthropic companies in the Tampa Bay area. And we've been three of the last 4 years, we've been in the top 35 with that. And so one of the biggest benefits is the kind of the coalescing of a group. Right. And coming together, and you see that group, and it's an awesome thing to be part of. And it allows you, and it depends on your goals and purposes. It allows you to more freedom, more free time, more things to do, things that you have passion for and passions into your community and that sort of thing. And so, and these are the things that are important in life.
Yeah. Now I know one of your passions is giving back. So define for us what corporate responsibility really is, and how did you first start to realize it?
Well, I first started to realize it when I had a situation with a young woman who had worked for us for a number of years who got actually hooked on OxyContin, right? Oh. And it was a horrible situation, a single mom, three children, and And I decided that we needed to do more. We had to do more education. We have to do more and get involved more in the community. So we found a program called the Drug-Free World Program, which is an education program. And we bring that program to schools. We bring them to young adults, children, and we help people educate their children and their and young teenagers and what have you to the horrors of drugs. And this is part of our society today. It's just part of our what we live with. And if you look at it from the viewpoint of a employer, and you're going to employ people, and so it makes sense to me that if you educate more and more people about these aren't the drugs of the 60s and the 70s, right, that are around today. These are way, way more powerful and more potent. And I think we have to educate people to that effect, right? And the other thing that we're very passionate about, I really love sports. So we get involved with the, it's called the We Believe in Me Foundation. It's run by Jerry Wunsch, who's played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 7 years, and his fiance, and the two of them, they have a program where they help young people who have received scholarships, but they don't have the grades to accept those scholarships. So we help them with a tutoring program with the Community Learning Center, and we help them get to a point where they can improve their grades so they can actually accept those scholarships.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's a great program, and they're great people.
Now, look at the social improvement that is made because, we get right down to the fundamentals again, you have a business. You built systems.
Right.
You trained your staff to take over the day-to-day operations so you can get out there and make this kind of effective change in our Tampa Bay area.
Right.
So I got to salute you for that. That is awesome.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit more from the business perspective. Now, you have a community relations section in your business, and how has that really helped you, in giving back? And as a byproduct, really help with your bottom line as far as your business expansion.
Well, that's an interesting question because, you know, Florida's not deregulated, so we don't sell energy services contracts in here in Florida. We do sell LED lighting here in Florida. Mm-hmm. I do this more as a responsibility to the community. But when I explain this, let me explain it in this way, right? So if your business is local, and you have Dentist A and Dentist B. Mm-hmm. And Dentist A, they're both children's. Let's say they're both children's dentists. Mm-hmm. And Dentist A does a mailing out to 20,000 mothers in the community. And he gets a certain response from those mothers. Dentist B, on the other hand, goes out into the community and totally gets known to helping the children get educated to the horrors of drugs. And the mothers all get to know him, that this is Dr. B is really concerned about my child and the children in our community. And then that guy does the same 20,000-piece mailing. Who do you think is going to get a better response?
I think there's no question.
Right. And so when you look at it from that point of view, it's a way in today's world to become more and well-known and well-thought of. And so you get involved in the community, and you help the community, and the community in turn helps you in your business, and then you create that relationship. And this is a way to increase your ability to create relationships.
I couldn't agree more, and that's an interesting way of positioning that because, you know, let's take drugs, for example. Look at what drugs have done to production.
Right.
Every one of the business owners is obviously dealing with that either on a family level, friend level, or an employee level. So obviously, of course, you know, these social programs that address these ills is going to do a lot more good than just trying to work over top of them.
Correct. Correct. So, and I think that education in this area is more important now than ever. So this is why we get involved in this. And this is, we've met some tremendous, unbelievably awesome people here in the Tampa Bay area as a result of doing this.
I imagine you would. So give me an example of another business that you've seen that's really doing it right on this community relations and more philanthropic type of activity.
They're actually a dentist up in New York, right? He has gotten very involved with drug education program, and he's got it all the way to the mayor's office. Right.
Oh, wow.
He's working with the police, the local police are helping, the firemen. It's become a community activity versus him, his, you know what I mean? Instead of just him doing it, the whole community is taking ownership in it. And it's phenomenal to see that the results of this and the people that they're reaching and the people that they're helping. And, you know, I tell my staff all the time, if we help one kid, it's worth doing. And Dr. Ben has got the same viewpoint, right? If he helps one kid in the community, it's like worth doing it. And he's kind of got this whole incredible network that he's built up in New York. It's beautiful.
It's amazing what kind of effects we can create when we can get our heads out of our business and onto the community at large.
Right. Yes.
Isn't that an amazing point in a business owner's life where they can actually make that shift of their attention?
Yeah. The best guys do it.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. So as a final thought, Pat, in your opinion, what should business owners do right now to get their business systems in order so they can get free of their business?
Well, the first thing in any business and fixing any business, make sure they have their goals intact and where they're going. They really have to have that defined. And then it's like, okay, what things work? What are you doing right? And concentrate on those things you're doing right. And then concentrate on finding what's the successful actions, the successful things connected to what you're doing right, and the sequence of action. How did that all come about, right? And putting those together so you really understand those. So now you have your rightnesses. Now, okay, and then you can then look at, okay, where are we weak? Where do we need help? Let's say it's in the world of sales, in the sales area. Well, you know, you need to get sales training. You need to get some sort of sales training to improve your group's ability to sell your products and services. So then I always look at, good, okay, now we got this going. Good. How much, I call it outflow, right? Mm-hmm. How much outflow do you do on all of this stuff? Or is it a bunch of guys sitting around complaining about how bad everything is? If everybody's sitting around complaining how bad it is, there's nothing to correct other than to find new people or correct. You got to now correct the people to get them to get into the point where they're actually contacting others.
Right.
If people are contacting others and you actually have this interaction going, you now have the opportunity to fix and help them get better. Say you can record the phone calls, you can record the conversations, you can then actually help them get more proficient and see where their weaknesses and raise the level of the group.
That's an awful lot in a very short time. That's a really good blueprint for someone to take and really start taking some action today. So, Pat, thank you so much for being here and sharing your wisdom with us. You're truly a rock star, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so tell everybody out there listening, how in the world can they get a hold of you?
Well, they can find us, Accelerated Training Solutions, on Facebook. It's probably the easiest way. And that'd be great. We're glad to help you any way we can.
That's awesome. Thanks so much again for being here.
You're welcome.
Well, time, folks, it's time to take action. Now, we covered a lot of information in this Financial Power Hour. You're a business owner, and if you're not ecstatic about the results you're getting in your business, the expansion, the profitability, the group of people that you're working with, then we have to take a look at only one thing. How trained are they? How much are they knowledgeable of the goals and purposes of your group? And are they competent? Are they enjoying their own production and seeing the results of that? Are they winning? And the way to do that is to get them trained. There's all kinds of ways to do it, but the key is to start right now. You know, the financial position you find yourself in today is an indicator of how well you have understood and applied these 21 basic laws of prosperity. Now, there are these basic laws, and one of the laws is to have professionalism and excellence in your work, and that is where this training point comes in. So what I'd like for you to do is come to my website, pchristophermusic.com, and get a copy of the 21 Laws of Financial Prosperity for professional practice owners. These 21 laws are universal for business owners, but it's an action guide. Download it, take advantage of it, and get some results. And go and listen to archived episodes of this Financial Power Hour at www.financialprosperitytalk.com. We would love to have you go on my Facebook. P. Christopher Music Author is the handle on Facebook. Go check that out, like my page, and we can start an interaction, because it's more important to me that you succeed and you find joy and passion in what you do. So we'll see you next time on the Financial Power Hour.
You've been listening to the Financial Power Hour. For more information on prosperity principles and how to apply them to your life and your business, visit Christopher's personal website at pchristophermusic.com or connect with him on Facebook at facebook.com/pchristophermusicauthor. You may also call Christopher's office at 727-588-1540 to request more information or arrange for him to be a guest speaker at your next event. That's 727-588-1540 or visit pchristophermusic.com.